You remember that last year I spoke on what? Done well, someone remembered. This year I'm going to look at Jesus through the eyes of Mark. Okay? But before we open our Bible, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, may we each gain a blessing from it, but more than that, may our eyes be turned to you. Be here by your Spirit, we pray, to guide and direct us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. And come with me to verse 46. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. And just reading the first part of that verse, we read, "And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people." Just this setting. Without sounding flippant, you could say that the Jesus show had come to Jericho. There was Jericho, there was Jesus, the disciples, and a crowd. Wherever Jesus went, there was always the crowd. And I guess within that crowd, there were a whole heap of people who were there for different reasons. There were those who were there because, well, it's a place to be. Place to be. Place of excitement. Something might happen. You know, we always like to be. There's a crowd that's like to be a part of the in thing that's happening. There were those that were probably there because they were sceptical. There would have been a few that were there because they actually believed. And of course, the 12 apostles, they were there too. The 12. People there for various reasons who were part of this group. And I guess as we consider this scene, there is a question we could probably all quietly answer, and that being, if I was in that crowd, why would I be there? Why would I be there if I was there? What would attract me to be there? Would I be the sincere seeker? Would I be sceptical? Or would I just be there because it's the in place to be? But you see, they were leaving the city of Jericho. Let's go back to verse 46. "And as they were leaving, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging." We are told that as they went out of the city that there was a blind man. His name was Bartimaeus. He was begging. He had sat there many times before. People knew he was there. Some people may have even given to him. He was part of the landscape. And how many people today are just part of the landscape? Part of the landscape of life, and we do not care. We don't take an interest. Maybe we don't even have the time to care. but they are there. They are there just the same. And on this day, Bartimaeus was at his usual spot by the side of the road, begging. But on that day, hope was to come his way. In verse 47. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." He'd heard about Jesus, what he could do. And I guess perhaps that as the time went by, it seemed as though Jesus wasn't going to come anywhere near him. So maybe he'd given up on hope. But now Jesus was in the area and he was about to go by. What could he do? He did the one thing he could do. He began to cry out, "Jesus, have mercy on me." He wanted his attention. He wanted to be made whole. Funny thing is this. Bartimaeus knew he was blind. He knew he needed help. He was willing to put everything on the line to get that help. But what about the others in the crowd? Didn't they need help? More than likely. But you see, Bartimaeus knew what his condition was. There's an old saying which says, "There is none so blind as those who cannot see." Bartimaeus knew he had a problem. He knew that the one who could help him was nearby. He began to cry out, "Jesus, our son of David, have mercy on me." And it's interesting to notice what we see happening in verse 48. "And many charged him he should hold his peace." I could see the people in the crowd saying, "Bartimaeus, keep quiet. Hey, you're upsetting the show. Just keep quiet. You're not important. Keep quiet." But we see Bartimaeus became even more determined. He cried out the louder, "Jesus, come on, Jesus, have mercy on me." You know, when you have a need, and you know you have a need, and you know there's only one person who can help, and you know it's going to take persistence sometimes, but are we willing to be persistent? Bartimaeus was. And then in verse 49, we find that Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." You know, what a difference it makes when Jesus speaks. Just a few words and the whole situation changes. And probably the ones who were telling Bartimaeus to dry up are now the same ones who are trying to seek attention and say, "Hey, Bartimaeus, he's calling for you. He's calling for you." And when Jesus gives the command, how people jump to attention. Yes, Jesus stood still. He gave the command. The people jumped to attention. They were willing to cooperate because Jesus was in control. And we could ask the question, but how can a situation change so quickly, so dramatically? Jesus called. Jesus called. And it's interesting to read in verse 50 that he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. People didn't take Bartimaeus by the hand of Jesus. He had very good ears. He knew. He knew the direction of which that voice came. He knew. Had very good hearing. This was a moment for Bartimaeus, and no one else could be a part of it. It was just a moment between Jesus and himself. And you know, when we come to Jesus morning and evening to talk with him, remember, it is your moment to have your own private audience with him. And remember, you have got his full attention. In that moment, Bartimaeus had the full attention of Jesus. And when we talk to him morning and night, we have his full attention too. So talk to him. He will hear you. He loves you. In verse 51, Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" What do you want, Bartimaeus? What do you want? And the answer, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." Such a simple question, what do you want? The answer was simple too. Bartimaeus had no question about what he wanted. He said, "Lord, I want my sight. I want my sight." If you were to stand in front of Jesus today, and if Jesus were to say to you the simple question of, "What do you want? What do you want?" What would be your request? What would be the request that you would put to Jesus if you could have a one-to-one interview like Bartimaeus did? Perhaps we could say, "Lord, I want peace. In this world in which we're living in, how we all need peace. Peace. As we look around, we see people who are struggling with life. They have no peace in their heart. Isaiah chapter 26, come with me there. Isaiah 26. In Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 3, we have a beautiful promise. "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." Isn't that beautiful? God wants to give us perfect peace. He has given us the promise of perfect peace. 2 John. Come with me to 2 John. In verse 3. Grace be with you, mercy and peace. From God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. Peace. He wants to give us peace. John 14. In benediction, as Jesus was about to leave them, he was about to face the Garden of Gethsemane. He was about to face Calvary. And in John 14, verse 27, he says, "Peace. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." God wants to give us peace. 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 Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And verse 7. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Do you want peace? You can have peace. With Jesus in our heart, we can have peace. How about joy? Like to have some joy? As we look in the faces of the people that are around us, do we see joy or do we see fear? Listening on the radio the other day, and they were saying for the world economy, 2013 is crunch time. But either sink or swim. Cheery, isn't it? Not very joyful. Joyful. John 16. What does Jesus say? John 16. Verse 24. Heretofore have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be what? John 15. Come back a page. John 15, verse 11. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be made in you, that your joy may be full. Jesus says, these things have I spoken, that your joy may be full. And we could ask the question, what on earth is he getting at? Come back to 9 and 10 of the same chapter. John 15, 9 and 10. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Then we read verse 11 again. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, that your joy may be full. Simple. Just remain in Jesus. As the Father loved me, so have I loved you. Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me. That's a good reason for joy, isn't it? And if you want to stay safe, obey the rules. And we shall always be with you. You know, when you look at the 10 rules, the 10 commandments fairly, what are they giving to us, really? The best. The best in life. And a hope for the future. But the best thing of all is a friendship. A friendship with the one who made us each one. Yes, we can have joy. Peace, joy. We want that. But peace and joy, we need something else too. How about hope? We all need hope. We all need a little bit of hope. Psalm 39 and verse 7. But now, Lord, what wait I for? My hope is where? In Thee. My hope is in Thee. Psalms 43. Psalms 43. Verse 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. Psalm 71, verse 14. But I will hope continually and will yet praise thee more and more. Hope. Hope in God. Trust him to keep our faith on him. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 13. Wherefore, gird up the loins in your mind, be sober, and hope to the end for the grace that is to be found unto you, that is to be brought unto you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. We are told to hope in God, but not just for today. We are told to keep hoping in him. We are to hang on to him, even when things get tough. We don't let go. Do you have hope in your heart? Do you fear for where the world is heading? Do you feel that you need a hand? Jesus has a hand, and he is willing to let down and to hold on to your hand. And he will not let go of your hand either. We can hope in him. He loves us. He holds on to us. He's not willing to let go. Yes, we can ask for peace. We can ask for joy. We can ask for hope. But there is one more thing we can ask for. It is real. It is not make-believe. John 14. Verse 3. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Beautiful words, aren't they? Matthew 24.
verse 30. And there shall appear a sign of the Son of Man in heaven. And there shall all the tribes of the earth mourn. And they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. Verse 31. And he shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they shall gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. That's beautiful. 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Let's come with me there. Another beautiful description of something that we are looking forward to. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning with verse 52. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruption shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. Jesus coming. Jesus shall return. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. A beautiful promise in verse 16. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with thee in the clouds to meet with the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Yes, we can ask for peace. That's good to have. We can ask for joy, and that is good to have too. Hope, that's special, for without that we've lost. But the best thing to say is, Lord, we want you to come. We want you to return, so that the world of strife has come to an end. If Jesus stood before you today and said, what do you want? What would you say?